You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Tuesday, December 1st, 8:05 Central Time. It is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Corey Aker from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Paducah, Kentucky. Good morning, Pastor Aker.
Good morning, Andy. How are you?
I'm well. And you, sir?
Doing very well.
Great to have you as our guest this morning and helping us study God's Word in 1 Peter chapter 3. Tell us a little bit about St. Paul Lutheran Church in Paducah, Kentucky.
Well, we've been here a long time. We're just 3 years shy of our 150th anniversary. We're in the Mid-South District, and down here in the Mid-South, there are not a lot of LCMS Lutheran churches. So we're kind of the show here, and we have a great congregation, both folks who have been lifelong St. Paul members, and then new members who have come in along the way, and all dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel and getting that good word out in our community.
Well, very good. Very good. Glad that you are there and the saints are there with you at St. Paul telling the good news of Jesus in the community there in Paducah. We are studying 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 22. Pastor, what would you like for us to know about this text as we prepare to study today?
Well, first of all, as everybody's going to hear, there's a lot going on in this chapter. So I don't want to kind of get us lost on any one topic, but maybe it would be good to back up just a little bit and see that chapter 3 is picking up in the middle of a conversation that Peter's having with the Christians who have kind of been scattered throughout. And I think the best spot to kind of start this is all the way back in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, and this kind of gives us a context of who we're talking to. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. A lot of the stuff that's going to come after this is fleshing out what he says in that verse. So abstaining from the passions of the flesh, and so he talks... again, in chapter 2, he talks to everybody, then he talks to servants, and then in chapter 3, we're going to talk specifically to wives, to husbands, and then back to everybody again. So I would say that might help us get started in chapter 3.
All right, let's take a look. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 22 is what we're studying today with Pastor Corey Aker from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Paducah, Kentucky. If you have a question or a comment on the text, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0851, 800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's take a look. 1 Peter chapter 3. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. All right. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their own wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. This is probably one of the toughest texts that some people find difficult to swallow.
Well, sure. And that's because we live in a culture that is not going to want to hear something like this. We live in a culture that says there is absolutely, you're not going to find a single difference between a man and a woman. And what in the world is Peter doing here? The audacity of him to say that there actually are some differences. Now, the section that you read is, again, one of the sections that Peter's dealing with. Now, he starts with likewise, so we need to understand what is this likewise referring to. And in the section just before, he's talking to servants who should be doing their absolute best for the sake of the master, whoever they're subject to. They need to be doing the absolute best for them. Whether that master is a good man or not, they need to be doing their absolute best. And this is where Peter gets into, even if if you suffer for doing sin, well, good, you're supposed to. You're not supposed to sin, so you need to be punished for it. But if you are punished, or if you have suffering as a result of goodness, being righteous, well, that's actually a gracious thing. So in that same way that servants are supposed to be subject to masters, he then says, all right, now here's how it would play out in a husband-wife relationship. And he seems to be implying that perhaps in this marriage, the wife is a Christian and the husband is not a Christian. And so by seeing the way that his wife reacts, even if he is a complete jerk, by seeing the way that his wife reacts and responds with continued love, and that he's going to wonder what in the world is going on, and he perhaps will start finding out. And what he's going to find out is that it is this woman's faith, his dear wife's faith, that is seeing her through even as poor treatment.
The term subject, be subject to your own husbands. Now, the translation puts it in a similar way, place yourselves under your husband's authority. What does this mean, be subject to your own husbands? How do we understand what God's word means here?
Well, to get at the heart of what Peter's talking about, and Paul speaks the exact same way, and the reason they speak this way is because they're very faithful to Scripture, and that should not be surprising to us. What they're doing is returning all the way back to creation itself, and in creation, God established an order, and within that order, on the sixth day of creation, he creates husband and wife. On the sixth day of creation, he creates family. And he orders that family in such a way that will be best for the sake of all involved in the family. So what's best for the wife, what's best for the husband, what's best for the children, what's best for the society that will then come out of that, all has its beginning all the way back in this ordering. And in that order, God has given headship of the family to men. The problem that we often see is that there are some bad guys out there who will take this to mean, get under my thumb, woman.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what we're talking about here. To be subject to a husband is really the best comparison that we have there is the same way that all of creation is subject to God. Now, we're not under God's thumb, but we're receiving his constant and continual care and nurturing and love. And in that same way, that's the way it should be in our marriages.
Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious.
Again, beautiful words, but also countercultural, and countercultural in a different way. See, now we're kind of striking at big industry, I suppose, where women are supposed to be beautiful externally. So we've got makeup, we've got jewelry, we've got certain kinds of clothing, certain kinds of shoes, all of these kinds of things. And so we have to dress our women up and adorn them. And then that, in turn, becomes this thing that girls especially, and as they grow and mature and become women, internalize as their self-worth and self-value, unfortunately. I'm not saying this happens all the time, but you can definitely see this happening in the lives of women sometimes. And when that becomes the starting place of who they are, how I look and how other people relate to me based on how I look, it's going to lead to a very frustrating life, and it's going to lead to, not the kinds of things that they hope for. What kind of man are they going to attract with their looks versus what kind of man they're going to attract with who they actually are? And what Peter's inviting women to do here is to be who they actually are. Let that inner person, that beautiful child of God that God has recreated through holy baptism, let that person be your adorning.
For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening.
Just a kind of a nice capstone on the rest of the section, saying, "Hey, you're not the first to ever do this kind of a thing, and it's always been a good thing."
The phrase here, Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, with a lowercase L. Again, one of those phrases that someone might stumble at. But what does it really mean?
Well, again, for someone to be a lord of someone else, that person is charged with caring for that person, nurturing that person, and loving that person. And if our husbands were to be that kind of a nurturer, a caring person, someone who loves and someone who is protecting and providing, well, I think that in most cases, that is going to be someone that a wife is not going to have any problem living with and living under in the way that is rightly understood.
Anything else up through verse 6 before we go on to verse 7?
Well, I think that those are the main things that I would want to say about it. I mean, it goes completely against our culture, so I imagine that people are going to hear the things that I'm saying and really wonder about it. So, I mean, if we have some calls or anything like that, you know, we can certainly address any specific questions, but I'd be ready to move on to the next section.
All right, let's take a look. Verse 7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way.
Here we go. I mean, it just keeps getting better and better, doesn't it? As far as things that our culture is going to hear and, like, just grate on their nerves, how in the world can Peter be saying these kinds of things? He's telling us exactly how a good marriage can be, how wonderful this all can look, and it starts really with the head of the household, the husband, being a good guy, looking out for his wife, caring, understanding, not flying off the handle, not being abusive, but looking out for his wife as if she were actually more important than he is.
Showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life.
And again, that weaker vessel business is going to be troubling, challenging, but I don't think it needs to be. Again, Peter is simply looking at the world as it actually is, not the way that we think that it should be, with absolutely no differences between men or women. If you were to, I guess that's the example I use with my confirmation kids, if you were to stand the world's strongest man, the top bodybuilder of the entire world, next to the world's top bodybuilding woman, the strongest woman in all the world, I always kind of trick them a little bit. I say, so they're going to look exactly the same, right? Well, absolutely not. And what we're talking about here is that in this weaker vessel business, that God has actually created men differently than women. And so that men can do the work that God has given them to do, and you have to be physically capable of doing certain things, and especially of protecting your wife and your family. That's a big part of what it is to be the head of the household. That's a big part of what it is to be a husband. And just to put the flip side on it, there is no man in history, nor will there ever be a man, who has ever been capable of giving birth. That's a specific job and an ability that the Lord has blessed women with. And that should be lifted up and thank God for that, and thank God for the differences between men and women, because we go together so well as he designed it.
So that, and showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. They are heirs with us.
There we go. So there's not any kind of I've got this great promise and blessing from the Lord, and that's just because I'm a man. No way. Now we're getting back to where we're absolutely identical. we have baptism and all the fruits of that baptism, which comes a little bit later in 1 Peter. But I would say even here, Peter is giving us a glimpse of what that baptism is all about. But absolutely, all the blessings of the Lord are yours in your baptism, and that's all-inclusive.
Anything else up through verse 7, Pastor?
No, I think that hammers it out pretty well on those.
Very good. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back from that break, we'll take a look at the next section, verses 8 and following. You're listening to His Time. We're studying the Daily New Testament Reading with Pastor Corey Aker from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Paducah, Kentucky. We're in 1 Peter chapter 3 this morning. If you have a question or a comment, 1-800-730-2727 or the email address kfuo@kfuo.org. We'll be back in just a minute.
How does Jesus describe the moments before his return, and how does he tell the church to respond? Live Tuesday on Issues Etc., we'll look forward to Sunday morning, according to the one-year lectionary, talking with Pastor David Peterson about the coming of the Son of Man in Luke chapter 21.
Issues Etc., live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
Ad Crucem offers theologically sound, scripturally rich, and high-quality items for nearly every occasion. They have exquisite greeting cards, handcrafted jewelry, fine art, crucifixes, church certificates, banners, and much more. AdCrucem.com has amazing products at great prices. That's AdCrucem.com. Greeting cards and gifts designed and made in the USA. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We are studying the Daily New Testament Reading with Pastor Corey Aker from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Paducah, Kentucky. We are in 1 Peter chapter 3 today, verses 1 through 22. Pastor, are we ready to pick up at verse 8?
Sounds good.
All right. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. All right, let's take a look. Verse 8. Have finally all of you have sympathy, or have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Well, looks like we lost our connection with Pastor there. Hopefully we'll get reconnected with him. We'll take a short break, and hopefully hang tight, and we'll get him back on the line here and see if we can get reconnected, and we'll take a look at that text. Let's go to our listener lines. Let's go to Herman in Southern Illinois. Good morning, Herman.
Good morning. Thank you. Your pastor guest doing a lot of work on that passage, and it come to realize that in Jesus Christ, who is the new Adam in human flesh, who was born a male, line of David since Adam, redeeming the fallen race of Adam, has abundant grace for men and women, and he also abundantly raises up and blesses the order of creation in which they were began, where woman came from the side of Adam, by God's work and design. And that's far more grace in Jesus Christ, the new Adam, for people than it is from the philosophies of the world that put forth kind of a general egalitarianism, or if other things worse than that.
So the philosophies of the world are really pale in comparison to what we're really finding in the text today, and who Jesus truly is, especially the philosophies of the world regarding male and female. Is that where we're headed?
Yes, exactly. It's in Christ that the fullness of redemption and grace and new life come from now and in eternity. And so that there is a redeemed order of creation in which, for example, in Paul, women are not to be the presiding pastors, for example. This is a blessed thing. Well, the examples say like Joseph Smith or Mohammed, you can have false doctrine as a man or as a woman, but Christ designates a qualified man to be the pastor who is also a sinner, but yet that is his grace and his authority of his church to do that.
Very good. Pastor, welcome back. Are you with us now?
Yes, I am. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Power shut off and it turned the phone off too.
Oh, no. Well, I'm glad. Is power back on?
It's not, but the phone in the other office works, so we'll go as long as we can.
Are you sitting in the dark trying to study God's word? Oh, no.
Well, luckily the light is coming through the window. So, yeah.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. We were just talking about how the philosophies of man, Herman is calling from Southern Illinois, how the philosophies of man pale in comparison to what we're learning regarding the Word of God and especially Jesus made flesh when it comes to male and female and how God created them.
Sure. And I mean, that's a really good way to look at it. Where are we going to come down on things? Are we going to come down with the way that our society is going, or are we going to come down with the good word of God? And where these two become in conflict, we're going to be a lot safer when we land on the word of God side of things. But at the same time, we can see why there is a struggle with that. So it's definitely worth studying these kinds of passages, 1 Peter and the sections of Paul where he's talking in similar ways. Because it is when we properly understand this, it really sets us free to be who God created us to be, rather than being bound and tied up to what the society thinks we ought to be, simply because of our gender.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for your call, Herman.
Thank you.
Let's go back to verse 9. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing.
Absolutely. And I would note that this is verse 8, he says, finally, all of you. So again, we went, Peter's talking to the servants, the wives, the husbands, and now he's addressing everybody who's going to read this letter. So all of you are to not repay evil for evil, reviling for reviling. So what should we do? Well, if people are going to treat us evilly, in an evil manner, evilly is probably not a word, but in an evil manner, or if they're going to revile us, well, let them. I mean, that's not the end of the world for us. But is this also then providing an opportunity for us to show the love of Christ, to actually be the love of Christ in our lives as people are even treating us poorly? And that's okay. We can take it on the chin. It's not gonna take our salvation away.
Verse 10, for whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil.
Well, and here he's going back and quoting the Psalms, and for everybody, look, if you want to have if you want your life to go better, here are some ways that you can do it. This is a common way that Paul writes, it's a common way that Peter writes, it's a common way that your preachers preach, where we have the law, the gospel, and then here's how the gospel actually plays out in your life. The gospel has made us new creations. Our holy baptism has made us new people, and as new people, this is what it looks like. We're not just lashing out with whatever comes into our minds, but we're fighting that temptation. We're simply not giving in to that evil in a way that it's a lot easier to do when Christ is not when Christ doesn't have a hold of us in holy baptism.
Anything else up through verse 12?
Well, again, just to kind of recap there, Peter is making his case for individuals servants, wives, husbands, and now he's talking about everybody. As we kind of conclude the chapter, he is going to once again hammer home the rationale, and I think in the biggest way that he even does in the entire short letter.
Let's go on to verse 13. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good?
Right, and that's exactly the point that we're making just a little bit earlier. These things that happen to us, the sufferings that we have, the way that people treat us, whether somebody says Merry Christmas to you at Christmas time or not, these things do not harm you, not in the end. Now, might we suffer pain? Are there Christians throughout the world who are certainly being persecuted in a way that we probably here in the U.S. do not understand? Yes. But does Christ hold them in his caring hands even through that? And does Christ see them through that, even if it means martyrdom? Absolutely. We have a hope that goes beyond the things that we can see, the things that we can experience, and the things of this world. We have a hope that keeps us in Christ. And I can't say it enough, how Peter brings us back to our baptism in that. That's the hope that we then have. And as he says a little bit later on, be ready to share that that message. Be ready to tell people why you have such a hope. Well, our Lord is resurrected from the dead. He will never die again, and he's coming back to do the same thing for us. That is a tremendous hope, and that is something this world does not have. That is something only the Christian church has.
But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you.
And that is Peter's, he's issuing us an not necessarily a command, but he's definitely giving us the authority, perhaps, as individual Christians. He calls us priests, priesthood of all believers. As individual Christians, we should be ready to share the gospel. That's not necessarily in the same way that a pastor does, where you have to prepare a sermon and get up in a pulpit and do this big public thing. But it is, you have people in your lives. Everybody listening has people in their lives who do not know about Jesus. And they are going to, in some way, hopefully because you tell them, but in some way they're going to find out that you actually do know Jesus, and they're going to have some questions about that. So Peter's simply saying, hey, be ready for that. And the way that I look at this, I think the most important people that Peter is talking about here, the people in your household, the people in your extended family, your friends, and your neighbors. If you start there and kind of apply what he's talking about with being prepared to make a defense for the hope you have, if you start there, you're going to be busy for quite a while talking to those people. And think about it. Those are the most important people in your life, and they're important to God too.
Yet do it with gentleness and respect, he says, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame.
Right. And so we're not the old Bible thumpers where we're just going around beating people over the head with our 15 Bible passages that we have memorized and expecting that to change everything. That's not so much the process, and if it even is a process. We're simply there with the hope that we have, and that hope that we have comes directly and only from the Lord himself. And with the same gentleness that he has, we ought to go. If somebody isn't loving the message that we're having, well, we don't force it on anybody. The Word of God is the thing that has the power and the authority, and the Lord himself goes to work with it.
For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil.
And there he comes back to that kind of a common theme. We have to keep in mind that Peter's talking to the persecuted church. So there are people who are simply in love with their faith in Jesus Christ, and they're suffering as a result of it. So again and again, we see Peter going back to that same, look, if you're suffering for the sake of Christ, that's actually a good thing.
Anything else up through verse 17, Pastor?
Well, I want to get through the last section there.
All right.
All
right, here we go. Verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey. When God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. So Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison because they did not obey.
And so the very sufferings that Jesus has, he welcomes us into as well. Our sufferings are Christ's sufferings. Christ's sufferings are our sufferings. And all of this by virtue of baptism. And so finally we see him ending his section here, chapter 3, on the topic of baptism. Now, I know that we'll want to touch on this proclaiming to the spirits in prison. Well, in the Apostles' Creed, we confess that Jesus descended into hell. And this is where we're getting that from, is from 1 Peter 3, verse 19. So he descended into hell, and this is in his state of exaltation. It's like he's taking a victory lap. He has descended into hell, and he's proclaiming the fact that, Satan, you did not win. I have just crushed your head. All of those who had rejected God's plan of salvation all along, here they seem to be. Now, what spirits being in prison exactly looks like, well, we don't have a ton of information on that. We simply have this little verse, and that's probably as far as I would track that down. But let's get into that baptism part. Baptism, Peter's talking about all of those people who perished while Noah and his family survived in the great flood. Well, in the same way that Noah and his family survived in the great flood of water, so do those who are baptized into Christ Jesus survive. And it's more than survive, but what he's really telling us here is that, look, the ceremonial washings from before, those were good. Those did the thing that God said that they would do. And any kind of a bath certainly washes away dirt and all of that. But baptism is something even greater. It's something better, and it is the very thing that ties us into Christ's suffering, into his resurrection. It does not simply remove our dirt from our body, but it is an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's where our baptism has all power, all authority. It is only through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because he is resurrected from the dead, we will be resurrected from the dead. Everything that comes before this then has its meaning, its merit, its strength, its authority, all from this bit about baptism connecting us into the death and resurrection of Christ, because it's baptism that has made us the new creation.
Who does the work in baptism according to this text?
It's all God's work. He does the washing away. It's the gracious giving of the Lord, and that's the way the Lord works with his gospel.
Very good. Well, Pastor, anything else in this text up through verse 22?
Well, I would simply reiterate that the best way to read chapter 3 is from the back to the front. Otherwise, our radar might go up. Well, how can Peter talk about women this way? Well, he's talking about baptized Christians. He's talking about workers, wives, husbands. So when we remember that we are baptized in Christ, new creations in Christ, that changes everything. That changes who we are and how we look and respond to the world.
Very good. We've been studying the daily New Testament reading with Pastor Corey Aker from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Paducah, Kentucky. Pastor Aker, thanks for being our guest pastor and helping us study in 1 Peter chapter 3 today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
God's blessings. Hope the lights come back on soon there, too.
I hope so, too. Thank you.
God bless you and all the saints at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Paducah, Kentucky. Coming up in just a little bit, a new segment with our friends at 1517 The Legacy Project. Hope you can join us for that conversation and more his time. All coming up next on Worldwide KFUO.